What is going on, everybody? Hopefully the mics work. This is on Jez because he's streaming it, so the mics do work. What's up? This is Xbox 2 plus 1. I am the host, as usual, Randall Thor 19, the man with the million. And we have managing editor Jez Corden with us as well.
What's up, hello, Jesse? hello. Yes, what a fun couple of weeks in Xbox land. It's been. Oh dear. Yeah.
Yes, but the star of the show today, we have the King David from Iron Lords podcast joining us. When we asked you who you guys wanted for Patreon for this show specifically, a lot of you were like, "We need King David to be here," and well, he's graced us with his presence. Thank you so much for being here, buddy.
Oh man, thanks for having me. I told you, you're the only guy that can get me on without a camera, and Biscuit for the Biscuit beat you to it on Friday.
Well, actually, we have had you on,
yes,
without your camera,
yes,
right? Because you complained that I play favorites and I get Lord Cognito on here more than you. Yeah. But now I think you guys are tied, though. I think you guys are tied.
But I was voted in by the populace. You know, so
that is true. You were, yeah, voted in.
So
Cognito was not.
Yeah, exactly. He was just, hey, Cog, what do you want to do? You want to get on? You're like, yeah, come on, let's do it. You know, me, I need the populace in the streets. Rand, Jez, get King there. You know, so
oh, man.
Thank you guys.
Yeah, I was looking at the DM I sent you earlier, and the most recent DM I sent you before then was like 2021, where I was saying, you know, me and Rand are thinking about doing a guest show. Do you want to come on if we do? That was like 2021. Has it really, yep, taken us this long to get this show going?
Yes.
Oh my
Yo,
God.
Yo, I'm looking at it right now.
That's hilarious. Yep.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, man.
It's been a long time.
July 2021. You're, yeah, right.
But for those of you who don't know who King David is, he is probably, what we would say, the most vocal member of Iron Lords podcast, which is usually live every single Sunday between the hours of 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. Long ass show, just like ours. My favorite podcast. I've said that for I don't know how long. Like, one of the only shows where I will check out a lot of podcasts for maybe 10, 20, 30 minutes. Iron Lords is like the only show I watch for hours.
Thank you.
You know? And it's incredible because I talked to Cog and I talked to you, and you know, I was on the show back in the very beginning.
Yeah.
When like nobody knew who Iron Lords was. Now they're like people want to be on ILP. It's like a,
okay.
Yeah, it's like you haven't made it in the community if you haven't been on that show, right?
Yeah, that's when people want to clean themselves of whatever dirt they did over there. They come on and you have been absolved. Say a thousand whatevers, and yeah, you're good. You bend the knee, you're good.
Bend the knee.
Yeah, I've been bending the knee, pause, so much because of this Redfall stuff.
Oh, yeah. I wish we could have like better, not better, but more positive things to talk about today. But I mean, most of it's going to be revolving around, I don't know. We'll just talk about whatever, because that's what this show is. It's just free flow. Nothing's planned. I don't have any topics written down. No, we're just talk about whatever we want to talk about. So what do we want to talk about first, Jez? Okay.
Before we get into some Xboxy topics, I want to know the story of how King and the Iron Lords came together. Like, how did you guys meet? How did this whole Iron Lords thing happen? Because one of the issues that I have as a human being is that I've, mm-hmm, got no memory whatsoever. I can't remember, for example, me and Rand met at E3. I can't remember, right, it at all. I can't remember how me and Rand even started discussing having a podcast and all that kind of history. So I'm always interested to hear like how people got started doing this. Because
you do remember how me and you met, though, right?
In
person.
Yeah.
That's a no. He doesn't remember, King.
No, he has to remember that because it was just like...
We met at E3, right?
Yes, exactly. There we go. Of course. All right. Okay. All right.
I met loads of people and like, but I just, it's You're such a blur, man. It's not that, man. Like, when the last, I think when we met at E3, I was like small and a nobody, but yeah. I get so laser focused and get tunnel vision that I seriously can't remember meeting Rad at all. I just sort of got this, I got this vague sort of memory in my head of thinking, Jesus, he's tall.
Yeah. All right. So, Cog, Sav, and I, we've known each other forever. So much so that we are family, right? And Attic, I met Attic separately, right? And I didn't even know he knew my cousin. I didn't. And that's Cog. I didn't even know he knew him. Attic and I was playing Destiny, and that's when his name was Room to Kill. And we play all the time. Very good guy. And, you know, I get this protective nature about me, like, you know, just don't mess with my friends. And it was this guy that was, like, harassing him, bothering him, and threatening him. And I didn't take kindly to it. And had said some things to the guy or whatever. And then my cousin jumped into one of our parties, and he was talking to Attic, and I'm like, "You know him?" And he was like, "Yeah, I know him. That's Rune Gill." And yeah, we're talking about doing the Destinies podcast. I was like, yeah. "Oh, I didn't know that." Okay, so they wind up doing that, and they had three other members or two other members that it just didn't work right. It didn't fit. And it's not because it didn't fit because of the individuals. It just, it wasn't enough chemistry there. Like my cousin, he's back from the Run DMC days. So he needs that, you know, back and forth. Me and him have that. And, you know, then you throw Sav in there with his wisdom and his knowledge and the level of interjection that he does. When he speaks, he's a small man, not small in stature, but small man that carries a big stick. Very quiet, very humble, but when he speaks, it reverberates. And then Attic is the wild card, because he's the young dude who just, you know, he's just rambunctious. So we don't really know what Attic's going to say next. Like, really, honestly, seriously, I know y'all think that y'all don't know what I'm going to say next. I really don't know, have any clue of what Attic's going to say next. So that's how the dynamic really works. But so they had Sav guest appearance on the show first. Then Sav went, and they was like, "Oh, this works. It clicks." And then, you know, my cousin was like, "Yo, would you want to come on?" I'm like, "Hell yeah." And, you know, jumped on, and then it was just like, it really flowed. And then from that moment, we were like, well, you know, 12 people just watching us. And we just, you know, plugging along, just having a good time on Sundays. And we said, you know, let's go to these shows. My cousin was going to E3. I said, he'll never go to California again without me. Again, that's that protective nature thing in me, because I heard California is this wild, crazy place. Got out there, and, you know, California is cool. And, you know, just making sure that he's safe. And then, you know, Sovereign came with us to a time to E3. Then we got Attic to fly out, and then we started doing packs. And I said, you know, if we're going to do this, we revised the logo. Shout out to SWAT, helped me with that. And then De Niro, Pinero fixed up the stuff, and we got the logo. And then I went on a merch run, pushing out merch to people, giving out. We brought a lot of shirts. And 2,000 and some change worth of shirts, just to hand them all out to people.
Damn.
And we didn't even have probably 500 subs.
that's investment.
That's a lot of, you know, quijones at that time. But at that time, I had three companies. So, you know, that was pre, you know, pandemic. And everybody was in a decent space where we were able to work and have money to do some extra stuff to try to make this thing happen. And then we just started reinvesting. We just started seeing people showing up, and the community is incredible. And shout out to Dizzy, who saw the potential and sacrificed his website. Like, we built LordsOfGaming.net off of the infrastructure of his other website. And I forgot what it's called right now, so please forgive me, Dizzy. Yeah, so we did that, and we had the website, and we started going to these shows, and we started getting media. So when we got media, it was like a huge thing. And when I met Jez, see, Jez doesn't think he's a celebrity.
He doesn't. Yeah, he is, though.
He is, though. Like, you ever look at somebody, and they got, like, a little glow over them? Right? And I'm sitting there with Tim, and me and Tim is talking, and I hear him talk behind me. Now, I don't know what show I heard him talk on before, but I was like, "Who's that, Tim?" He's like, "That's Jez." I was like, "Oh," he said, "Yeah, for Window Central." I was like, "Oh, sweat, that's Jez, Jez." He was like, "Yeah, that's Jez, Jez." And I was like, "Introduce me now." So we went back to your row, and Tim introduced me to you. And he was so gracious and so cool. And he was like, we should get a pint when you come out over to where I'm at. And I'm like, hell yeah, definitely. But he was just gracious and humble and engaging. But, everybody wanted a piece of Jez at that time. Pause. You know, they were there, like, have a conversation with him. But
Do you remember what year that was?
No, I don't. I remember the Keanu year. The Keanu year. Yes, that's the Keanu year.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think I do remember then.
What was that, 2019? That was the last Xbox show, right?
That was the last time, yeah.
Man, last live Xbox show.
It's kind of weird now, thinking back to 2019. None of us realized that might have been the last ever live Xbox E3. Thinking about it.
It is.
That's crazy, realizing that now. But that's awesome, man. Like, do you guys, like, live near each other? Do you know each other in real life? Or is this all come together purely online?
No. We know each other in real life. Me, Cog, and Salve used to hang out with each other, like, every day. And then, every Saturday, definitely. Like, we would be playing Halo with TVs. And, like, we brought extra televisions and link cables and all this other stuff and had 16 awesome. People in the house. And I don't know how his moms dealt with 16 rowdy dudes. But I guess it was better than being out on the streets because, we come from the South Bronx. And it's worse now, if you can believe it. But it was very bad then. And I come from the worst side, right? And Cog was like in a little slice of heaven. So I would leave that worst side just to get to the good side and just to have a reprieve, basically. So our video games was our reprieve. Addict is the only one that lives in a distance from us. He lives in West Virginia. But every time we go to these shows, he flies out or, we take the train or whatever. And he gets to us. But Attic is the only one that didn't grow up with us. Age different wise as well. So.
You wouldn't know it though, because I think like you all have such a rapport. Like Attic too, like you have like such a flow and it works so well. I think like that's really important with podcasts is like there has to be a sort of rapport and camaraderie that you can't fake it. You just cannot fake it. Like I've done podcasts before doing podcasts with Randon, it always just felt kind of forced, almost like a chore. And then when I get on with Iron Lords or when I get on with Rand, some of the other guys in the community like Colt and Gaz, it's just so much fun. It doesn't feel like work, and I suppose it does feel like a reprieve for me as well.
Yeah, it's respect. I honestly respect everyone's opinion that's on the show or people that we vibe with. If Cog tells me Rand is cool, Rand is a go, then Rand is cool. So no questions asked. That's just how it is. That's because we value and respect the word of our brother. And, Iron Lords you just see the small fraction of Iron Lords. It's really Channel 5. Channel 5, it's like 20 members. It's huge and vast. And that's from all the people that were playing the video games inside the house together. Like we literally played hours upon thousands of hours of video games, Halo. That's why Xbox has such a big place in our heart because Halo was besides GoldenEye was cool, but that was four players, right? Halo was the one that opened up the doors to being across the room from somebody yelling out, I'm kicking your butt and I'm going to do it in style. And he's in the next room. And you got people running from one room to the next to see the screen and see what's happening. And it was challenges thrown down and people walked the streets butt naked because they lost bets. So we wasn't given knees back then. If you lost, you know, potential, you'd be walking down the street butt naked. And, you know, shout out to Black Magic who lost that bet to me.
That's what made Halo great back then, Jez. You wouldn't know anything about that, though.
Yeah, well, actually, I kind of like, I was in a similar boat, you know, like we used to, I did play Halo at school. We used to, I had an Xbox, original Xbox, and the only game I had was Halo. It was like the Halo machine. Oh. Like everyone had their PS2, but like I had an Xbox, and I was like the only kid in my whole group that had an Xbox. So we used to skip school and go and play Halo at my house, you know, snipers and Blood Gulch and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I do have some of those memories as well, you know, but it was always like, it was weird because it was still always about PlayStation, you know. And it was like Xbox was this weird thing that only had one game, as far as I was aware. I missed out on all these great Xbox games like Knights of the Old Republic and stuff like that. But I think, King, like when you talk about like going, like you go to Cognito's house for the reprieve from the environment you were in. That was similar for me. It's like the school I went to, like similar sort of environment. Rough as hell. There was a riot van there every Friday because, like, every Friday there'd be gang violence, and eventually it got to the point where the police were like, okay, well, we have to make sure we got a presence there to stop what's going on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kids like me, sort of like, you know, I'm a lover, not a fighter. I just used to not go to school. I was like, well, I'd rather not risk getting killed today, so I'm just going to stay at home and play Halo. So... yeah, it was a reprieve, and I think that's, you know, where a lot of that, you know, the passion for gaming that, like, oftentimes people looking from the outside and they see like grown dudes or women now, you know, grown people getting so invested in this stuff, they just don't get it, you know. It's just like
it's a hobby just like any other hobby that you invest yourself into, right? I always tell people, you know, you got to laugh, cry, and enjoy your days. Always, right? And then you have a very fulfilled day. You have to do so. You have to find something that you're passionate about. I'm passionate about a couple of things, but one thing that I'm truly passionate about is these video games. Mm-hmm. And because I know where I would be without them, right? So the fact that video games has saved me from certain things. I have a true respect for it. A lot of people think, oh, you know, he hates PlayStation. I don't. I was there from when PlayStation was conceived. I've had every PlayStation console that's ever come out, handheld or console itself. Same thing with the Nintendo. Same thing with TurboGrafx and everything else. I'm just a game connoisseur. But my blood bleeds green. Mm-hmm. Because of what happened to Sega. Now, I'm a true Sega head, but, excuse me, but when Sega left unceremoniously, Microsoft filled that void. You know, Bill Gates looked over, had a bunch of money, and decided that this is what they wanted to do. And after watching the documentary, I was, like, truly more invested in what it could have been and what it became. And it was a point where they were almost out the door. And, you know, shout out to Phil Dominus, Maximus Aurelius Spencer. They gave him an unbelievable task in front of him. And I don't know, by wits and by charm or skin of his teeth, by guile, he made it through. He made it to a place where the company, the brand itself, is a little bit more respectable. I know, coming into what we're about to talk about, true, but one mistake doesn't erase a history of achievements, right? a couple of mistakes. Don't do that. You know, no one is infallible. But at the same time, they got to be held accountable. So, you know, I hold him accountable, but at the same time, I see his achievements and I respect him for it.
He's trending on Twitter. I looked earlier. Phil Spencer was trending on Twitter, and if you look at through that hashtag, whew, a lot of people calling for his job.
Yeah, they can call what they want. You know. Yeah.
Unhappy with the current situation. You know, Jez King is also notorious for his prediction about the PS6.
Yeah, it's not making it.
He says there's no PS6. PS5 is the last console PlayStation will ever make.
Why do you think that?
Okay, so I think this generation goes 10 years, right? And I'm looking at because we were stunted 3 years. 3 years into our growth cycle, we were stunted with the pandemic. Now, if we look at the 360 and the PlayStation 3, I think they went 8 years before we got a new console.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, they were talking about it being the last consoles. But they still had research and development, and both of them hemmed and hawed until they actually came up with consoles. Now, PlayStation was almost out the door. If 360 would have stuck the landing with Xbox One, those guys, you would have you wouldn't have got a PlayStation 5. They didn't stick the landing. PlayStation 4, boom, you get a PlayStation 5. I truly believe in this generation, regardless to what, both of these consoles become an app, right? And I see them both hedging their bets towards app land. Microsoft is a little bit more accelerated with the Game Pass and the cloud infrastructure, Azure and all this other stuff, and the stuff that they're Azure and the stuff that they're doing in the back end, right? Acquiring all these developers and trying to have enough games that's inside the platform. I believe the platform is Game Pass. I do not believe the platform is the series consoles at all. I believe they are the Trojan horse, and Game Pass is actually the platform. Same thing with the PlayStation. I believe Jim is smart enough to understand that we need to have multiplayer games that can exist in this space. Everybody wants to have a Fortnite or a Call of Duty or what is that? That game from EA, Amped or something like that, whatever. It's a shooter.
Venom, is it?
Venom? No, I believe it gives with an A. You know,
Apex Legends.
Apex. Yeah. Right.
They got a new one coming out this summer as well. But yeah, carry on, sorry.
Yeah, but that's what they want. That's the golden goose, right? And PlayStation is taking their services a little bit more seriously. That's why this deal with the ABK thing and you need to block. They're stalling. They're not gonna. That deal is gonna go through. They're stalling. Really? Oh yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's gonna go
so
through.
So you think this is just a speed bump in the road, essentially? Like, all right, now it's going to take a little bit longer, but you're of the opinion that when it's all said and done, Xbox will close on that deal and ABK will be theirs?
Yeah.
That's interesting because Jez is of the opinion that this deal is 100% dead.
Mm.
There's not even a chance. He didn't even give it a percentage, King. Not even a single percent, not even a 0.5%, 100% dead.
Entitled to that thought. I'm just of the rocky thought. I don't give up until actually there's absolutely no hope, right? If the EU comes back and the EU approves the deal, that puts the CMA in a binder. Mm-hmm. And then the FTC is going to fold. And FTC folds. Then you go back to appeals court with the CMA. You can do a couple of things with those guys. You can, until y'all figure it out, we're going to have the company and we'll do Game Pass all over the place and it just won't be in your region. And then y'all figure that out over there when that happens. I think it passes. And I'm not saying it's going to pass through clean. I saw so much money being transferred from hand to hand and so much greed at that point where with the FTC and the CMA, there's a lot of man hours that's going in. There's a lot of overtime. There's a lot of stuff that's happening. People are getting paid a little around the board. And I just feel that that part is why it's being blocked more so than them having any knowledge about the video game industry.
Well, I do think, you know, my personal pessimism is that they just won't be able to cut through the incompetence of the UK regulator. And I don't think Microsoft will. I don't think Microsoft fully appreciates how broken the UK is. The UK is a just dying state. The economy is absolutely screwed. The government's incompetence is at every level is just off the scale right now. You know, like they are distracted. This CMA stuff to the government itself, they don't give a crap about it because they got way bigger problems to deal with right now. Like they're currently being attacked in the media for their handling of the Sudan crisis because there's a lot of British, there's like thousands of British nationals stuck in Sudan right now for whatever reason, and the government's done a very bad job of evacuating them. So they are like fully distracted, and they don't like the CMA stuff to them is just like, it's just not on their radar whatsoever. And you kind of need the government's, you need the government to overturn what the CMA says, and the government just handed the CMA a shitload of extra powers. Like a ton of extra power. And I kind of feel like the CMA's blocked it because they're partially because they've become power hungry. However, there are some developments coming down the pipeline. By the time this show airs publicly, right now it's exclusive on Patreon, there's a major piece of news for the UK cloud industry dropping on Wednesday. I'm under embargo, so I can't say what it is. But but something major is coming. Like, none of us here will be really interested in what the news is specifically, but the news does have major implications for the landscape of cloud gaming, and it pertains to Amazon Luna. By the CMA's logic, they say every single Xbox Game Pass member is a cloud user, right? They haven't provided any data on how many members of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate there are in the UK, but there's only 25 million globally. So let's like estimate that even if it was half, even if it was like half of the 25 million, which obviously it almost certainly isn't. There's someone in the UK, Amazon, who has a bigger cloud platform now with Amazon Luna, because every Amazon Luna member in the UK gets it for free as part of Amazon Prime. So by the CMA's own logic, and you know, Amazon was never mentioned in any of this stuff, not very prolifically anyway, by the CMA's own logic, Microsoft is not the biggest cloud provider in the UK anymore. So it's kind of like, I think there are some ways they can trap the CMA by their own arguments if they're clever about it. I just have no faith in the CMA to just back down because they have so much power, and now it's going to be an ego thing for these people. And oftentimes, like the way the UK operates, it's not in the best interests of the people. It's always like political scheming and all this kind of messed up stuff. The whole reason Brexit happened. Brexit was like, there's been no benefits of Brexit whatsoever. But the people in power, they've benefited from the chaos that erupted from it. They knew it was coming, so they knew where to make the good investments. And a few people at the top made a lot of money from all the chaos. You know, maybe they think they can make some money from the chaos, the fallout of this. Maybe some of their mates are shorting Activision stock. I don't know. But I just don't think they'll get it through because what benefits the regular person is just not what happens in the UK. So I think I'm just thick with pessimism about that. And I want to believe that you're right and that it will get through. But I really think Xbox needs to focus on a plan B if it doesn't get through, because they can't bank everything on this deal. They can't do it.
If what type of monster do you think these guys become? And I'm just plainly talking about Satya and Phil, right? Because they have egos too.
Yeah.
Right. And this deal doesn't go through. And, you know, Sony is still parading around. Yeah, we're acquiring Boombox Studios, you know, really nif-notch studios that really haven't produced anything, but just bolstering up their bullpen. What type of animals do you turn them into? Do you now in turn turn Microsoft into that dark entity that you thought that they were going to become? Do you now make them that? Because this deal doesn't go through, right? Let's just say, let's go into Jez world, and this deal doesn't go through. What do you think Microsoft does from, they got to come out of pocket $3 billion. Now they're looking like, you know, they got shunned at the dance. Do they go out there and just scorch earth and purchase everything that they're able to legally purchase with no problems and go really hard and try to bury Sony in a way that they can't recover from?
I mean, I did write an article to that effect. Like, PlayStation won't like what Microsoft becomes if the deal gets blocked. But I remember that. Yeah, I don't know. It's really hard to get a read on what they'll do, you know, because like you say, people do have egos and emotions do affect the way things go. So it could go either way. Like, either they get angry and they're like, yeah, okay, we really got to turn up the heat now. We'll throw more money at Square Enix to land exclusives. We'll spend more money on contact acquisition. We'll start doing the third party exclusives. We'll land Mortal Kombat exclusively or whatever, you know, these big name franchises, and we'll get them all into Xbox Game Pass. Because Microsoft, like, they were trying to do that with Tomb Raider, and they got hammered so hard for it. You know, people crying and the media crying and stuff. And they can't have that kind of passive attitude anymore if this deal gets blocked, because they will have essentially been chewed up by all these predatory firms like PlayStation and Google coming out there saying the deal's a bad thing, even though they exited the industry. You know,
I think they might be back with Sony, but go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, maybe. But in any case, I really think, like, I don't know if they will get that predatory attitude or whether they'll just get the throw in the towel attitude, because I've seen Microsoft do it before. Now, I've seen them throw in the towel before, and I think that's why Xbox fans get the press and the Xbox fans, and they smell blood in the water. Because the problem with these big diversified mega corporations, they don't rely on any one specific business for growth. And that's why, like, Google can, like, literally shut down Stadia, refund everyone's purchases, and not even be a blip on their radar. They can have this kind of dispassionate attitude to things that people become a fan of. Like, Microsoft took a $7 billion write-down with Windows Phone shutting it down. $7 billion after buying Nokia. And it wasn't a blip on their radar. So, like, I worry it could go that way. I worry that, like, you know...
They'll do that after four generations, though?
Well, that's the thing. I just don't know. I don't know what's in Satya's head. You know, I don't know, like, if Phil's just like, man, everything I try and do is just not working. You know, I bought Bethesda and they're putting out crap like Redfall. And I try to buy Activision and we do everything right. I've been told, like, the people at the top of Xbox have never worked this hard in their life to try and get this deal over the line. And then some asshole regulators from a foreign country that have, like, almost little to no relevance to your business has come out and blocked it globally because of some arcane regulatory framework that hasn't been amended or, you know, reformed in the UK for decades and decades and decades. It's to say it would break me. It would break me, you know.
I'm gonna tell you, Jez. I'm gonna calm your fears, because it seems like you're doing soft talk Tuesdays.
And I'm
just not gonna let your heart pump any Kool-Aid. I'm just not gonna let it happen.
Well, tell us, King. Tell us.
I honestly, I've looked into this man's eyes, and I didn't see quit in his face. Like, I don't see quit in his face. If he's not there, then that's a different question, right? That's a different conversation. If he's no longer the head of Microsoft, Xbox, then that's different. Like, the same way I knew Peter Moore didn't have any quit in him. Right, it's just certain individuals that are built of a sterner stuff that there's no quit there. Then they will go out and they will fight to the bitter end. And the fact that he got, you know, Satya to back him publicly, I think guys with that type of money have a level of ego that they don't take slights very easy. This is the reason why, you know, Jim didn't return Bobby's phone calls when they were trying to, you know, hey man, what's going on type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
These guys that play in that side of the pool with this type of money, they play for high stakes.
Yeah.
I know Phil wants to bury this guy. I know for a fact he wants to bury this guy because this guy raised up BS arguments and caused what would have been his biggest crowning achievement, something that he can actually ride off into the sunset off of.
Yeah.
He messed this up. He got a finger at the point. When you can laser beam something, you can get it out of there. That's why it's not going to be a PlayStation 6. Because hook or crook, this deal don't go through. Let's say King is wrong and this deal don't go through. The animal that Microsoft becomes, PlayStation fans don't want. Y'all would have probably had a good existence. Let the deal go through. Y'all get Call of Duty and you shut up and go sit down in your corner and play your single player games and have a good go. This, you're not going to like this. This is going to be a different animal, a different beast. That Microsoft that y'all say, oh, if y'all have so much money, how come y'all not the market leader? How come you don't do this? Okay. I think that happens.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be interesting. That would be very interesting to go down that route. You know, deal gets blocked. All right, let's just take some of that $70 billion and go buy up a whole bunch of different things. That'd be definitely a ruthless strategy.
I mean,
but that's
thing they haven't really tried is ruthlessness.
Yeah. Ruthlessness. They're very much, a lot of, they're like, everything with the PR for the Activision deal was very much presented as, hey, we're the good guys.
Yeah, we're the good guys.
We're your friends. We're not taking COD away. Understandable. COD makes too much money. I get it. But we're just the best. We want to be your friends, right? You know, Jim Ryan doesn't want to be anybody's friends. Jim Ryan wants his money. So, you know, you have this like thing where it's like, all right, you know, kumbaya, we just want to be friends. Rising tide lifts all boats, all that sort of stuff. But, yeah. You know, this thing doesn't go through. Even though Phil has said, hey, it's not the end of the world, right? It's not, it's just an accelerant to our plans. It's not the whole plans. It's got to calm everybody down. It's got to calm the employees down. You know, you do have to look at, like Jez said, plan B. Like, okay, what are we doing for mobile now? All right, what are we doing on PC side? Okay, what are we doing to grow Game Pass, right? Because these are all things ABK would have done. And it's like, all right, well, now we got to, you know, like we need timed exclusives. We need more deals. We need to go out and acquire more individual studios that won't get blocked. It'll be a very interesting thing to see what they would do if this deal does get blocked. But I mean, it seems like, well, it'll be a long time from now to find out because, you know, with the appeals, you're going into next year unless the European Commission actually blocks it in May this month. Which then it'll be completely dead. And then, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, transitioning to the here and now today, on May 2nd, a game that came out, finally, Xbox released another game this week, a AAA game. The first one from Bethesda since, well, their first one of their acquisition outside of Hi-Fi Rush. And, man, the reactions online have not been kind. The reviews have been very harsh. Everything surrounding Redfall has been quite bad ever since the announcement of the 30 frames, that it wouldn't be 60 frames at launch. And there was some speculation we even had, like, well, there might be other things wrong with the game, blah, 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 blah. Well, here you go. Today, there's a bunch of reviews, and we're back to Crackdown 3 levels of mediocrity, or initial Sea of Thieves levels, or State of Decay 2 levels, to the point where, which caused Phil Spencer back in 2019, Phil Dominus Maximus Aurelius Spencer, to publicly apologize at the Game Awards for the state of the games his teams were releasing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, been much better, right? Publisher of the year in 2021, putting out bangers. Mm-hmm. Everybody thought this was going to be the new Xbox. Yes, right? Putting out really good exclusives, despite them not being of a bigger nature. You know, that's always kind of the claim. 2022, not good. Finally, okay, we got Redfall. It's here. It's coming. And, well, it's poor quality, at least according to the reviews. I know Jez has played it. We'll get to him in a minute. But this is about you, King. I want to know how you feeling. Have you played Redfall? How are you feeling about the current discussion around Xbox and all the things that kind of go along with it?
I played a hot 20 minutes.
Hot 20, okay.
A hot 20 minutes because I was coming onto the show and I was downloading it while I was trying to. I told you I was playing Fortnite.
Yeah, right.
You know, you had a force.
You're loving the Star Wars stuff.
Oh, I'm a junkie for the Star Wars stuff. And then the fact that you got, Fortnite, I'm a junkie for Fortnite. So, boom, made instant crack.
How much is the stuff for Fortnite? And as someone who doesn't engage with that, like the Star Wars stuff, Do each of those buy individually?
You can play the game without buying anything.
Right, I know that. But specifically, if you want Anakin, or if you want Darth Maul, or if you want Padme, how much does that cost?
So there's you can go inside the store right now, and I think Anakin and Padme cost something like probably like $9, okay. And they come with gliders and stuff, little peripherals, and then the Darth Maul. He's a part of a separate battle. Now, this is the first time I've seen them do this. We already have a battle pass. This is a special battle pass. It's only going to be up for 20 days that allows you to get every type of stormtrooper, like the desert trooper and all this other stuff. But at the end of it, Darth Maul, a character that I don't believe, to the best of my knowledge, has been available in Fortnite as a purchasable character or unlockable character, is there. That cost me 1,000 V-Bucks, which probably is like $3.99.
Okay. Yeah. It's fair pricing. $23.
Yeah, no, it's very fair pricing.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, so I was doing that, and I said, I got to get on the show. I got to cut this out. And, I was playing with Hot Monkeys Lovin' and Galveston, and I was like, I got to go, guys, because I got to jump on the Xbox 2 show. And I said, I need to play this Redfall real quick. So I threw it on, and I picked the yellow character, Davian, whatever.
Dev or something?
Yeah. Right. So, and I only took that because I was on Cult Show last night, and he said he should have took that character. So I was
okay. Who did Cole pick? Did Cole pick the sniper?
No, he picked the girl.
Not Layla?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
The purple. So I said, okay, fine. Let me take this guy. Boy, I had to look at my controller to see if I had a 360 controller.
Ooh.
Resolution wise, it's this gen in a resolution only. In resolution sake only. Everything else, oh boy, like it.
Speechless. You're speechless, bro. And you're normally never speechless. You always got something to say.
This took me like because I, you know how when somebody tell you it's terrible and you're like, I can't be that bad. It's that bad. It's that bad. And I just did 20 minutes of it, and I said, you know what? I'm going to throw myself, head first into this thing and try to play it a little bit more. But I'm going to tell you, and it's little things, and, Colt said it too last night. It's when you go to the door and you go to open the door and you just press X and open the door on a 2023 game, you should turn the handle, right? It's little things like that, but the graphics... The polygons seem hard, like it was some tearing, it was some clipping on some stuff, and I'm just like, this should not be, not now, not right now. This you shouldn't have this in this game because I'm going off of their previous works, you know, Prey and stuff like that. And I'm saying to myself, was this Microsoft's fault that they wanted a multiplayer game that's completely always online, that can live inside Game Pass, and took them out of their comfort zone to make, instead of a single player story driven narrative game, into this game that you need to have your friends there because the moves collaborate with each other? I don't know who to put the blame on right now, but I know taking a studio that's used to doing one thing and then telling them, hey, do this, how about this, and make this, and let's see how this works, and expecting it to come out, you know, A plus the first go, I don't think that's a good idea. And it's bearing fruit in its nature right now, because I'm telling you, very few games do I turn on and I'm saying, eesh, a lot of those dudes is right from the jump.
And that's not exactly what I wanted to hear. I'm a huge Arcane fan, right?
Right.
I wasn't playing this game. We had this conversation when the whole 30 frames thing was brought up. I'm like, I'm not touching Redfall until 60 frames, right? So I haven't played it, so I'm kind of just reading all the reviews and stuff, and like, yeah, it's shocking, you know? People talk about quality control. Like, where's the quality control? How can you release something in this state? You know, especially, like, PlayStation, Nintendo might be able to get away with it, right? But Xbox is fighting that uphill momentum, man, you know?
Do you think it's fair?
Life ain't fair.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, life ain't fair. I mean, yeah. So it's like, this is the thing. This is the thing Xbox is fighting against. And you have to do everything better than your competition. That's just a simple fact. Right. And, you know, seeing these things and seeing that the release, it just gives me flashbacks to 2019 and seeing Crackdown 3. You know, and like State of Decay 2.
It's not Crackdown 3.
I'm just saying, it gives me flashbacks. You see that yellow 60. Remember all the memes and things that everybody used to make about it, right?
Fun. I'm not gonna lie. I had fun with it. I don't know if I'm gonna have fun with this game. But let me ask you, Jess. And let's keep it real, right? Let's keep it real. Did you care about this game when this game was announced?
Yeah, I mean, purely on the basis that it's Arcane, you know, I'm like, Prey is in my top five games of all time. I absolutely adore Prey so much, and I love Dishonored as well, and, you know, so it was on my radar on that basis. However, I was always worried about it, because it looked like shallow Zuma bait trend chasing stuff. Like everything about it just looked kind of like, you know, gunning for a teen audience or whatever, with the music and the delivery and the sort of we're not so serious about the writing. Here's some weird jokes and stuff like that. So I was nervous about it from that outset, but at the same time I was kind of like, well, you know, maybe I'm not the target audience. That's fine, but maybe there's a good game beneath that, because I play games that aren't typically in my target audience all the time, you know, like Pokemon, for example. So I can look past that kind of stuff as long as it does what it's trying to do well, you know, if that's its goal, if it does it well, then great. So I was nervous about it with regards to that. The 30 frames per second drama didn't really bother me that much because, you know, I'm on the record of being a filmic guy, you know, much to people's chagrin, like, it doesn't bother me playing a cinematic, single player, non-competitive game at 30 frames a second. Doesn't bother me. I try and play Overwatch 2 at 30 frames now. It'll make me rage. In fact, like, I play Overwatch 120 frames a second now, and even going back to 60 frames is an issue. But that's competitive play, right? And like, if it's cinematic, if it's a game like Plague Tale Requiem, or I was always going to play this single player, and they advertised it as being viable single-player game, and they always said it's still got that Arcane immersive sim aspect to it. So I just kind of had this, I clung to hope like this. We didn't get invited to the previews, which I'm honestly glad about now. But, you know, they were mad that I leaked the launch date, I think. Because I leaked the launch date a few months ago. I leaked some other stuff about it. And, you know, we talked about... the frame rate stuff just didn't bother me. So they did give me a review copy on... Was it Thursday night or Friday morning?
The day before, right?
No. Well, I had like 3 or 4 days with the game, something like that.
Okay.
So like I was in the very first preview wave, thank God. And I played it really hardcore over the weekend. So I pretty much did nothing else. I was like, I'm going to review this. I'm going to hit embargo and I'm going to get through the whole game. And I did. I'm like one of the few people who completed it. And when I was killing bosses and stuff, I was getting 0% achievements, which makes me wonder, am I the first person on Earth to have killed this boss on Xbox Live? Because, you know, when it's a rare achievement with 0%, that, you know, that does that mean nobody else has done that achievement? I don't know.
That's you.
Yeah, so I hardcored it, no-lifed it. And Rand will tell you, when I was DMing him, I was like, I was so desperate to love this game. I was like, my initial impressions were bad. I was like, oh my God, this sucks. And I've seen a video.
No. Your first thing to me is like, I'm playing Redfall. And then the next your next thing was Redfall's awesome, bro. And I'm like, all right. And then it just, King, I swear to God, like Jez is just posting like over 5 hours of just like his, like, you know, thoughts on paper. And it just continuously got worse. Started off, Redfall is awesome. And then by the end, I don't even want to say what he said at the end because it was hyperbole, but yeah.
Hyperbole. Thank you very much.
Hyperbole, yes.
But but yeah, like the very first area, I was like, okay, they are deliberately showcasing me that they've got immersive sim DNA. They want you to find a key. Like there's loads of different ways to escape the boat. You can smash the window. You can
right.
search around. You can break the emergency release on the glass and then exit through the gate. Or you can climb up and go over the top and there's like a secret shotgun there and stuff like that. I was like, okay, great. Like they're showing me this is what it's going to be about. And then you exit the boat and there's like this amazing eclipse scene. Which, again, I think that's when I messaged Rand. I was like, oh my God, this looks amazing. Like, the water's curled up and it's frozen. It looks really cool. The lighting's coming down. And then the first problem, and I've seen other people post this clip now. The very first enemy that you meet in the game has his back turned to you, which obviously says, stealth kill this dude. So I go up and I try and stealth kill the guy. But the problem is, there's a weird bug where he's on like a rock or an incline, and your character can't physically get close enough to him to do the melee attack. So you just end up punching midair, and then that just alerts him, and then you just have to shoot him normally because you don't have any silence weapons. So you end up shooting him with your gun, and then that alerts everyone, and then boom, it's like you've ruined the stealth aspect of the game already. And then, like, I get to the next group of enemies, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do it properly now. I'm gonna stealth kill this guy. And then I sneak up behind the dude, and I'm expecting, you know, like in Dishonored, where you get the option to choke him out, or you get the option to assassinate them, or whatever. There's none of that. You literally just go up, punch the guy in the leg, and he instantly just drops down dead. Like, it doesn't matter where you punch him. If you punch him on his foot, that kills him. And I'm just like, what the hell is this? What is this? This doesn't feel like an Arcane game right now. This isn't the quality I'm used to from Arcane, where there's no actual stealth layer to the game. It's like this. It's like I'm sitting there thinking, I know you've got the code for this. The code exists for a stealth kill because I've experienced it repeatedly in Dishonored, and it's just not there. There's nothing there. But it gets from there, it just gets worse. If you're trying to play it like a regular Arcane game, like the AI has no system for seeing dead bodies. So if they see a dead body, they will go into the mild, oh, I heard something state. So like they see, yeah, so they see a dead body. They don't care there's a dead body there. So like when you do eventually get like a, there's no silenced weapons either. There's either weapons that are quiet or weapons that are loud, weapons that put them in the, I heard something state, or weapons that put them in a full, oh, I definitely heard something state. And those are the only two AI states that exist in the game, which is not an immersive sim. So
did you play Deathloop? Not to cut you.
I did, but not that much because I just didn't like. I'm gonna try playing Deathloop again after Redfall just to double check whether I'm crazy or something. I did that right. After completing Redfall. I reinstalled Prey. Because I was like, am I crazy? Was Prey right. like this? And am I just nostalgic? And it's just like, no. Prey is objectively a better game in every single way. And I'm going to do the same with Deathloop to see, like, what the hell's going on here. But I dropped off Deathloop because I did the first loop. And then I was like, I don't care enough about this to do the loop again. You know, I just kind of immediately dropped off it. And I had other stuff I needed to play for work. But I'm going to give Deathloop another try, but... I mean, did you like Deathloop? Did you enjoy Deathloop? Did you play it?
I liked a couple of things about Deathloop that I can see is a stark difference than Redfall. Like the level of detail in certain areas, just the way the world is presented, it just seems like they took more care and time with Deathloop. I don't know if it's the same studios either. Right,
they're different studios.
Arcane Leon did Deathloop, but Arcane Austin did Prey, so it's kind of like.
And man. Arcane Austin did Redfall.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
And they last game with Prey.
With Roundhouse Studios and Arcane Austin made Redfall, and Arcane Leon made Deathloop, but the both studios together made Dishonored 1 and 2. They've only since then broke off into separate entities, which I'm starting to wonder, was that a massive mistake?
Huge mistake.
Yeah.
It should have kept them together then. You know, somebody had to see this game. I don't care. No game gets gold and shipped out the door without people sitting down and playing it. And the fact that the embargo, a lot of people got the game... I think it was like that Saturday or that Sunday because I got a lot of text messages in the background. Some people didn't get it as early as you did or, you know, Colt or whoever. They got a chance to play it long enough to give a thorough opinion of it. They knew what this baby was. And it gets to the point where is it time to get our ROI? Off of this product because it's been in development and let's throw it out there and see what it does. If it dies, it dies. Drago's feeling to it. Or they really didn't care about the product in the way that we cared about. They made us care about it because I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to be 100%. Give me Starfield. I didn't care about this. Give me Starfield. I don't care at all. I mean, I thought it was going to be Left 4 Dead. And then once I found out it's not Left 4 Dead, oh, okay. Don't care that much about it. And then he was like, 30 frames. I'm like, really don't care too much about it at all. And then come to find out it's like this Hyper 360 game. I'm like, I really don't care. And they made us care about it. All the branding behind it, flying people out or, you know, inviting. And everybody's getting controllers and everybody's talking about blood. And this is the guy who did the music. And they really kind of force fed this stuff to us. And we are sitting here like, all right, now deliver this great game. And it's like, kablowy, here you go. And that's just not it. So I don't know.
Yeah, and it's not even like it's like, all right, it's like the core is bad. It's also like there's performance problems and there's glitches and there's bugs, which implies the game needed another day. You already delayed it once for a year, right? Back in 2022 to 2023. So like your question of like, well, did they play it and realize there's no salvaging this? Let's just put it out and just cut and run. And we're going to go work on something we want to work on. Cause I look and take my opinion on this for what it is, because I haven't played it. Right. I've seen videos. I've talked to people who've been reviewing it, but Arcane is known for single player immersive sims. That is what they're good at. They're maybe the best. This always seemed to me, even though I was looking forward to it because of the pedigree of the studio, was that Arcane and Bethesda were chasing a trend because they ran into issues. You remember Save Player One, E3 that one year, and then the following year they had all these like games as a service, Wolfenstein Youngblood, Fallout 76, and they weren't good. And to me, it almost feels like Arcane Austin was kind of like, all right, we might be on the chopping block. We need to make something that sells. What's popular right now? And they ended up making a open world co-op looter shooter, basically Far Cry, right? Yeah. And that's not up the wheelhouse of what Arcane can do. So, okay, you spend all this time working on it. Maybe you hope it comes together in the end, right? And Xbox acquires you, and now Xbox is kind of like, all right, you don't necessarily have to do what you were doing. Like, there was leaks before, we've seen it. There was supposed to be a microtransaction shop in this game. Not there anymore, right? So maybe that was one of the things that helped with the acquisition, where it's like, oh, you don't have to do this, right?
Right.
But the game just never comes together. The game's just kind of soulless, you know, it's just kind of aimless. It doesn't have the fun factor that other games like it do. And it's just kind of just, it's an experiment that just didn't pan out. So it's like, all right, you already delayed it once. Maybe you thought it would gel together by the end. Now, okay, doesn't look like it will, right? Still got bugs, still got issues, still doesn't look great. And then, oh, can't do 60 frames on the world's most powerful console. This is our first next-gen game at $70 as well, by the way, right? It's like, all right, so you have a decision. We can delay it again, right? Another 6 months. We can make the glitches go away. We can make the bugs go away. We can get the 60 frames at launch, delay it again. But if we do, and that stuff's fixed, does it actually salvage the game in any meaningful way? You know, is the AI going to be any better? Is the game going to look any better? Is the quest going to be any better? It's kind of the same thing sense I get from right now from Rocksteady's Suicide Squad game. It's like people have seen it, and now they're like, oh, we're delaying it 9 months, but is anybody expected to be any better when we see it again in 9 months from now? You know? So there's a part of me that sits there and is like, all right, did they just take the approach of like, fuck it. We just need this out. We just need to get this out.
Cut our losses.
We need to just move on, and we need to get Arcane working on something else, which is horrible to say, because in my mind, I sort of feel like that's what's going on here. And I hate to say that, because this is exactly what Xbox does not need. And I know there's a lot of talking back and forth about like, hey, who's responsible for this, right? Is it Bethesda? Is it Xbox? Is it a combination of two? And it really doesn't matter what the answer is.
Yeah.
If it's Bethesda, whatever. If it's Xbox, whatever. The problem is this game reflects 100% on Xbox. Even if it's completely Bethesda's decision, everything they do is now Xbox. So it reflects poorly on Xbox's first party. It reflects poorly on the decisions of the leadership team. It reflects poorly on the brand in general. So now you have this huge dark cloud where people are just making fun of the platform again. Like, we had went through this for years and people are just laughing it up. I mean, it's kind of funny when, I don't know. To me, it's hilarious, King, because you had like people who were making fun of Redfall forever. And then as soon as they found out a PS5 version was canceled, they all wanted it, right? Yeah. They all wanted her and clamoring for it and crying for it. And then, like, obviously the game comes out and it's like, oh yeah, you can keep that. It's like, well, that's not what you guys were saying literally like a month ago. You guys were like crying you couldn't have it. But now that it's not good, of course it's an Xbox exclusive. Like, it's just a really sorry state. Like, cause Xbox fans deserve better than this. You know,
Would you have put it out in October where it made sense for to have a vampire type theme game around the holiday is horror? I didn't get the idea of it.
The reading for me, reading the reviews, I get the distinct sense that they felt this game was unsalvageable. Like, and I don't know because I haven't really played it, but just like looking everything, I think even if it was no bugs and it ran perfectly, I still think people would be like, eh, this isn't really anything special. Like, it's just missing that something.
Yeah, I heard it's missing those interactions, those moment-to-moment things that keep you enthused in the game. Because right now I'm playing Jedi Survivor. And, you know, we had on Patrick, the lead encounter device developer that worked on those moments where sometimes you're traversing the world and you don't really have much to do. They give you something to do. Like, if it's scripted or non-scripted, they worked an algorithm where there was always something happening in that 15 seconds span that you stay engaged, because they want to keep you engaged in with the controller. From what I'm hearing, Redfall doesn't have that aspect to it. It's a lot of, lack of a better word, dead space when you're going from objective to objective and not too much in between. Is that Is that accurate, Jez?
I think so. I think it's, we got this. There's just this uncanny. I feel like there's a disconnect.
Right.
There's a disconnect between Bethesda and Xbox, and you know, like as you guys have been talking, I've been digging, right? Because I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, but there's this rumor floating around that that Xbox denied a delay to the game. A French outlet or leaker mentioned that an employee from Arcane Lyon had claimed to them that Xbox had denied their request for an extension to delay the game. But you know, I've been speaking to my own sources, and I've got sources now at Bethesda, which, you know,
yay. Bethesda sources.
Yeah. It's been hard, but we've done it, and finally. But like, just like, you know, learning things on background, because there's so much BS out there. You know, Phil Spencer's trending on Twitter and stuff because people are blaming him. But from what I'm hearing, this is all on Bethesda. It's like people don't realize how the merger still hasn't fully happened yet. You know, and they're still operating as separate entities. And I think it boils down to, like, you know, Xbox has to run the Xbox stuff that they're trying to run, and they're struggling to run that by itself. They kind of need to rely on Bethesda to run itself to some degree. But I think what they don't realize or appreciate, which is what you guys were talking about, is that when Bethesda falls over, it reflects badly on the Xbox brand. I think Minecraft Legends didn't reflect so hard on the Xbox brand because it's multi-platform. I think people have this vision of Mojang being separate to Xbox, and everyone accepts that Mojang is separate and exists as a separate entity to Xbox, but people don't see Bethesda that way. And it's like when you guys were talking about a second ago, the people who you know, said Redfall looked mid, and then they found out the PlayStation version was cancelled, and then they were mad about it. And then now they're all trolling the game that it's failed and saying, oh, we didn't want it or whatever. It's kind of like that whole discourse is avoided because with Mojang, because everyone accepts Mojang separate, and all their games are sort of multi-platform as well. So like Minecraft Legends, even though Minecraft Legends is also aggressively mid, I don't think anyone would deny that. Even me, as someone who likes strategy games, I was just like, I can't extract the fun from this, you know.
Right.
So I don't feel like it reflected on the Xbox brand, because I was just kind of thinking, well, Minecraft people will like it, and by all accounts, they do like it because it's hit millions of players apparently. But whatever. I think they need to explore whether or not they want Bethesda to be a separate entity, or whether they want to pull it closer to Xbox, because it is reflecting on the brand. The way they've done this is all about how it's reflecting on the brand, I think. And I don't know where they go from here, you know.
Do you think that happens after Starfield releases?
Man, it's just really hard to say. I think, like, Phil, they clearly have to be more involved in a game like Starfield because of how much of a flagship entity it is for Xbox's quarter. I think, yeah, like, maybe something like Redfall slips under the radar a little bit because, you know, they're based in Austin, Texas, which is like 1,000 million miles away from Microsoft. And, you know, I highly doubt Phil was down at Arkane Austin checking on Redfall. You know, he shouldn't have to either. He's the CEO.
Where's Matt Booty?
Yeah, well, that's another thing. It's like, Matt Booty's got all of his own studios to run. Where was Todd Howard? You know, who is
Todd Howard? Howard is his own game he's making.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it. Like,
who's the Matt Booty of Bethesda, I guess?
Oh, where's Harvey Smith?
You know, Hines,
Do you want me to I don't know what Pete Hines... Wasn't Pete Hines a marketing dude? But dude, I'll read you what Harvey Smith said in a press release about Redfall. Okay, so this is a press release. We're on the cusp of launching Redfall. The team at Arkane Austin is extremely excited for the prospect of opening it up. The game represents a blending of Arkane's immersive sim values, BS, absolute BS, with open world and co-op play, an undertaking that has been an awesome, mind-blowing ride. Ricardo Bear and I have tremendous appreciation for our teammates at Arkane Austin and Roundhouse Studios, along with everyone else who helped. We hope that players end up loving Redfall as much as we do. From everyone who works on the game at Arkane Austin, Roundhouse Studios, and elsewhere, we can't wait to watch you play and stream. Looking forward to playing co-op with you. What? This is Harvey Smith. This is the guy who gave us Deus Ex. This is the guy that gave us Prey. This is the guy, you know... And he's sitting here... Like, when I read that email, I was like, oh, damn. Like, immersive sim elements. Like, they're really serious about having this. There's... The immersive sim elements is like... I don't know. The dry bones of a drunken KFC after you've eaten it. It's like, there's just nothing there, man. There's nothing there. There's nothing left.
Dude, all right. Do you think they knew that what they had on their hands?
I don't know.
Why did
he send me that email then?
Because it's PR, bro. I mean, they got a game to sell. Like, they're not going to be like, well, thanks for playing our shitty game, guys. We're sorry. Like, they're going to try to sell it as much as you can. And there's the Game Pass thing where it's like, okay, you don't need to spend $70 on it, thank God, because nobody would buy it if you had to, you know. And it's like, there probably will be people who enjoy it, you know. Like, of course there will be, right? That's just, not everybody's gonna feel the same way about it. So yeah, he's gonna put on a good face. It is his studio, it is his team, right? His people. So he's gonna be as positive as he can about it, right? It's to be expected.
I mean, it's crazy, right? Because what I write in my review, right? The best compliment I can give Redfall is that I don't hate it. Because, honestly, I got through the game, and it's not like I was sitting there, I was sitting there thinking I had a horrible experience. Because it was still fun teleporting to different buildings, luring enemies into traps with a flare gun, sniping dudes from a long range. It still had those elements of, like, fun stuff. And I reviewed Far Cry 6, and I think Rand will remember how depressed I was reviewing that game.
Yeah, you were.
Because I was like, I'm so sick to death of Ubisoft bland open world. But for some reason, I think I didn't get that feeling with Redfall, because it's sort of like, it didn't ask too much of me. You know, like, I feel like like Far Cry wants you to do, you know, do all this extra stuff to, and there's like millions and millions of different bosses. I could see the light at the end of the tunnel with Redfall. So I was like, I could see it on the mission board how many missions I've got to go before this can end. So I was just sort of, I was enjoying it for what it was. And I think like Randall say, like Redfall may find its fans. And I actually think the core ideas behind the game are pretty interesting. And I enjoyed the story, and the story has some great beats, you know, and those sort of shades of arcane brilliance do occasionally come through. Like their writing is really sharp, you know, still, and the villains are truly hateable. I think that's one reason I actually liked Redfall a little more than Far Cry 6, was because the villains were really hateable and really interesting, unlike Far Cry, unlike Watch Dogs Legion and all these other Ubisoft games where they're just sort of like
positive stuff that you said about it.
Yeah, I mean I gave it 6 out of 10 at the end of the day. Like the game,
did you play it with friends?
I played a little bit with friends, but you know, I don't have any friends. I played it with Bethesda PR, for God's sake. You know.
Oh, that's what's up.
I played it with some devs and stuff, and because they were doing sessions and whatever, and you know, they were trying to, you know, explain where the fun is. You know, and I'm just kind of like sitting there thinking, you know. But there's so much that just went wrong with this. I don't know. Like,
it sucks because I mean, even though I really didn't care too much about the game, and I know that's gonna come off as damage control, and like, oh, King, you didn't care about it. Oh, I wanted it to score high for those people that like that Metacritic stuff. I wanted a game that can fill the shoes of Left 4 Dead, and I didn't get that with Back 4 Blood at all. Mm. I didn't get it from that Evolution game, Evolve. Well, didn't
that,
get it from
that game.
That
was terrible.
Yeah, I went in both feet, you know, 100%, because I'm a Left 4 Dead dude, and I guess that's what I held on to. I said if they can get some type of remnants of it and get some type of working order of it, and I saw the CGI trailers of, that's why I'm not a fan of them. And I saw the game and it was looking good. CGI trailers, not the game. And what it could be. I think we should just ban CGI trailers and force these companies to show you what
the product really is. Yeah. Like,
you know, opposed to us dreaming on what it could be, you know, and getting what it's not, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, we do only have King for a very short period of time, which we apologize for. Normally we do these for like 2 hours, right? But King has his own show. He's got to do with Attic here really soon, so I'm going to get him out here. I'm going to ask you a question, King, because I want to know this. We got the showcase coming up on the 11th. What do you need to see from them?
From Starfield?
Well, I mean, yeah, with Starfield, you know, it has its own show. But is there anything you need to see at this year's showcase?
Gameplay.
Gameplay.
Like real gameplay. You get to the point where you're so tired of the PR talk and the spiel. You don't want to be disappointed. Because I heard a lot of people going in on Jedi Survivor, talking about the, you know, the frame rate and stuff like that on PC. I only had one crash on console, to be honest with you. I shouldn't have no crashes, right? That should not happen.
I had five crashes through the whole game. Yeah.
You see? But you shouldn't. And this is the only industry where we accept this behavior. So... what I need to see from Microsoft is I need to see a doubling down, a fortified effort, an acknowledgement, and they won't do this. They will not do this, acknowledging that Redfall didn't hit the mark. 60 Metacritic games aren't and should never be the norm. And they should not be acceptable, you know, as well as you're not having the ability to play it at filmic 30 frames per second. and silky smooth 60 frames per second, you should have the ability to choose. I say it all the time. Give the consumer choice. Give them quality. You didn't give them choice, and you didn't give them quality. So that's why Red failed.
Midfall, Red fail?
Yeah. I need to see that from the showcase. I need to see quality, and I need to see the ability to choose. You know,
but even if Phil comes out today and apologizes for Redfall, does it mean anything to you? Aren't the words hollow at this point? How many times he's said something to that same thing about apologizing for states of games?
Show and prove.
You know? Do you think, I know the common thing now is everything's riding on Starfield. And start, you know, like, are of that opinion as well? Do you think everything rides on Starfield?
Not really. I noticed funny things. Like, what was that? The Benedict Fox, right?
Yes.
That dropped the same day or around the
Star Wars. Right, day before Star Wars, yeah.
Yeah, Star Wars, but around Redfall, right? I'm talking about Game Pass conversation.
Right, yeah, okay.
Right? That was like a constellation prize. that was literally like, we have this as well. and also Quantum Break came back around this time. So they was doing a lot of good PR stuff. They just didn't nail this one thing. And I don't know. The showcase, Phil doesn't need to talk. Actually, right now, I don't want to hear from him. I don't. Because I really don't hold his head accountable for this blunder. Whatever's going on, and from what I know, and I know some things, Bethesda and, you know, ZeniMax teams, they kind of run themselves over there.
Yeah.
There's still a little disconnect that's happening. I don't want that disconnect to permeate and destroy the brand of Xbox. And if going over there and having to be heavy-handed severs a couple of, you know, ruffles a couple of feathers, then you need to go over there and do that. And if you need to rearrange people around there, I think then Sarah Bond needs to take control, and she needs to be the Matt Booty of ZeniMax. I think she needs to go over there and, you know, start the quality control, because the stuff that she's done with Game Pass has been phenomenal. So this might be, Redfall might be what precipitates her taking control over what's going on in ZeniMax. And if somebody's listening, you have a capable person that's there. And if Matt has too much stuff on his hands, then, you know, maybe it's her time now.
Mm. Yeah.
Deeper integration. I think that's I'm probably going to write an article this week exploring that theme, because I do think, I mean, even with Mojang, I mean, it's not okay. I'm still pissed about the super duper graphics pack. How are you going to, you're going to have your marketing team make a literal musical for the super duper graphics pack for Minecraft, and then a Mojang turns around a few months later and says, oh, by the way, we can't do it. Like, what? And this is kind of, it's a similar kind of thing where it's like Microsoft, Xbox has grown rapidly for acquisitions, but they haven't done enough to integrate those teams. And I think like they've got this sort of, they've got it in their head that it's like a rosy and it's a good thing to sort of keep the team separate, keep them independent or whatever. But I think like it's just not working as they would hope, and some more oversight and support, direct support needs to happen. I think Microsoft needs to either grow, or if it has a team already for this, they either need to grow it or invest more in it so that there can be more help, support, and oversight and stuff like that. But yeah.
But we need to get King out of here.
Yes.
He's got to go do his own show. Thank you so much for coming on, King.
You're awesome, ILP. King.
Yeah. Tell everybody where they can check you out at.
Well, right now you can catch me.
Yeah, right now. Like literally in a minute, probably.
In a minute, right? R&R with the Lords, that's on Iron Lords podcast channel. Combat Talk with the King on Saturdays when there are meaningful fights, like, you know, the Javante Tank Davis versus Ryan Garcia fight. It was a stellar event. Everybody came out, supported, and it was great. It did really good numbers for me, myself. Also, Iron Lords podcast Sundays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're a long format podcast, but by the time you look up, you'll be like, "Wow, it was really 5 hours." Yeah, you have a good time. But thank you guys. I do appreciate it. I do appreciate the Patreon and everybody else voting me in. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, you know, next time, you know, Rand could just look over, or Jez could be like, "Hey, man, come on in now." You know,
you were always on the list. I was always on the list. You know,
I appreciate it. Next time it can be on a better note.
Yes, something way better than this week.
We were discussing doing our big XB2 roundtable.
Yeah,
for the Xbox Showcase,
we need to get King on for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm down for everything.
Yeah, thank you for coming on, King. Love you because you're the best.
All right, thank you guys. Catch y'all later.
Yep.
Take care, everybody.
Have a good week. Later. We'll see you on Friday.
Friday. Well, if the people who listen to this later won't, well, they'll see us the next Friday.
We'll see you. Yeah. On Xbox 2 Friday.
9 p.m. German time. What time is it in America? I never remember this.
When we do the podcast? 2 o'clock for me. 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 Pacific.
Man, America's so greedy. Like, what does it want to have like 10 time zones? Why can't it just have one time zone? Anyway, yeah. Thanks to everyone for joining. We'll be back next time and keep it gaming, as Rand says.
Yep.